Hello.
You were at the dinner last night.
I was.
I remember you well. Open street map.
That's
looking forward to this.
Hello, so my name's Steve Case, and 2 years ago I started something called OpenStreetMap. I also run a consultancy, which that is the address for, and this is the 22nd time I've given this talk, or a talk like it, which is why it's like that. Why did I create OpenStreetMap? Because data is not free or open. It certainly wasn't 2 years ago. It's getting more free but less open with time. Data's not current. A lot of the mapping APIs are beautiful, of course, but if you go and look at the data, they're often a year or more out of date, particularly if you look at things like Regent's Park, where they retype the entire thing. All the paths are on in Google, for example. And a wiki is the obvious next step. So even if data was free and current and open, then allowing people to edit it over the web is just the obvious thing to do. Now, the way this thing works, if it shows this video. Well, that's great. So imagine something really cool. Right, this is supposed to be playing a video of courier data, but I guess the frame rate's too high for your projector or something.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. 1 frame per second or something. So we have a relationship with a courier company called eCourier, and they have GPS devices in all of their bikes and vans. And as they drive around London, every 10 seconds or so, they're uploading their location and speed and heading and so on. And if you aggregate this data, then you get this really cool animation that I can show you if you come up to me later, of people whizzing around London. And it shows interesting social side effects, such as around 11 p.m. there's a sudden burst of activity as people go home from the pub, which is a really nice bit in this video that you can't see. So if you... Oh. No, it is. But it said it was playing it. Which is very odd. So, as I described, so London, Regent's Park, the river, Hyde Park, these are 3 days. Wake up at 9 o'clock, drive around, break for lunch, which is that little pause, drive around some more, and then around 11 o'clock, that little burst there. That's them driving home.
Are they driving cars or bikes?
They're driving three classes of bike, two classes of van, and a cyclist. Yes, it's funny you should mention that. They have a relationship with a traffic data company to do that kind of analysis. Right, and if you aggregate it together, you get that. So that's just, I think that's 2 days worth of data with this sort of blue thing. That's 1 day, the red is another, and then the black is another day. You can see we aggregate it together, you get something that looks like a map, although it's not perfect, and you only get to see on the map where they actually were. So, a couple of quotes. First one, because this is often seen as a little bit flaky. It's absolutely possible for a bunch of smart guys with the technology we have today to capture the street networks and potentially the major roads of the UK and minor roads. And that was Ed. Next one. If you don't make low-resolution mapping data publicly available, there will be people with their cars and GPS devices driving around with their laptops. They will be cataloguing every lane and enjoying it, driving 4x4s behind your farm at the dead of night. There will, if necessary, be a grassroots remapping. And that last line has become sort of descriptive of everything we're doing. And that's Timble. And then the last one. You could have a community capability where you took the GPS data of people driving around and start to see, oh, there's a new road that we don't have, a new route, and so that data eventually should just come from the community with the right software infrastructure. And that's about as big as you can get, that's Bill Gates. So big and clever, important people also think that this is a good idea. We've been producing pretty maps. This is Weybridge in the southwest of London. You see that the area, as the thing dissolves, will get bigger and bigger as the particular guy in Weybridge has been cycling around and driving it, so I'm collecting more and more data. But also the quality of the rendering you can see has improved over, I think this sort of shows 18 months worth of time. And this is all one person. Mostly.
Kind of interesting if you just got the postman to do it, wouldn't
it? It would be, but then he'd probably lose his job and something like that. We also compete with them on postcodes, so they don't like us. Right, so you can see that we can produce stuff that looks cartographically good. Also, this data is all in a nice, very easy to use vector format, so you can perform routing on this. Computers can manipulate it. You could use it in a TomDom type device. We're not just in the UK, although I have a strong UK bias living here. This is Copenhagen, where, again, this is just one guy. And what's really interesting, again, there's metadata on all of these. The street names are just not rendered in this. But the airport down here is public domain data, and even the taxiways are numbered in the correct place. So you can, in theory, do routing all the way from the airport to your house. It looks okay when you zoom in as well. It's not perfect, again, but things are evolving. This is Central Chester. And then we've been importing Tiger data. Tiger is a data set in the US. They release the street map of the whole of the US for free every few years. It's not particularly good data, but it's ideal for OpenStreetMap. You can take it in, allow people to edit it and improve it. And you can go in and change your street name, make sure it's right, add a road that's missing, and so on. This is Reading. This was a result of a map party, which I'm about to talk about. So we've been doing... Or eCareer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Those guys are dead keen on this stuff, and I'm sure they've looked at past.
They are and they aren't. They've often bought into mapping data that's OS-derived, and they've bought five-year licenses with an OS partner, so they can't really get out of the mapping problem. And then the routing data of where their trucks are is security important because they don't want me to go and rob them. And it's also commercially sensitive because they don't want their competitors to know how many vehicles they have and what the utility is on them. Because a lot of couriers, they make their money as only as long as they're carrying packages, right? It's like, as an airline, you only make money if your plane's in the sky. So you can work out from the GPS data how much they're actually being used. We've been having these mapping workshops. The first one was in the Isle of Wight last year. And that's where a lot of people descend on an area to map it exhaustively in a weekend or a week, something like that. And the Isle of Wight was the first one. This was the data we could use beforehand. This is OS data from 1943. And that's the Isle of Wight. It's out of copyright because it's current copyright for the last 50 years. And we can use it, but there's lots of things wrong with it. There's railways that aren't there, roads that aren't there, and so on. This is what we got after one day of... about 20 or 30 people cycling, walking, driving around the Isle of Wight. So you'd have people walking around the towns, people driving, the roads in between, and then we even had some of them the boat tracks go back to the UK as well. So that's just one day's worth of data. And this is what the Isle of Wight looks like now in OpenStreetMap. Every road is done as far as we know. We haven't done every footpath because there's an infinite number of footpaths there, or counted infinite amounts. All the roads are named. This data is freely available. You can go to the website, put it in your website, play around with it under our very open license terms. And it looks very pretty.
How do you know that you've captured all the roads? Like, what do you compare it to?
We don't. But we have, because there are people who live there, and so we descended on the place and we mapped most of it, and then the people who still live there were going around finishing all of it. I trust their local knowledge that when they say they think all the roads are now done, it's hard to miss them, I suppose, in the Isle of Wight. The reason the Isle of Wight was chosen is because it's a defined area. You go into the sea if you go out that area, right? So we don't know, but to the best of our knowledge, it is.
And this is actually a little announcement. Nestoria is a cool company that you might have seen already today that allows you to do property searching. So if you want to rent or buy somewhere, it's very easy to find places near you. They then do all the calling of property companies for you.
And they are using our tile data now. Those tiles that it's rendered on top of are OpenStreetMap data that's been rendered using Osmo Render, the same thing as previously shown, cut into Google Maps tiles and placed on top of Google Maps. So if you want to look around the Isle of Wight for properties, you can now use OpenStreetMap data rather than having to rely on Google, which is very cool. It's also one of our best mapped areas, and it leads to other possibilities, such as areas that don't have maps in Google Maps, like the Isle of Man, where we do have lots of data. So it's a cool thing. They're also using something called MapStraction, which is a very, very thin, lightweight library to allow you to switch APIs quickly between Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo, and so on. Nestoria are now using that. And MapStraction now has OpenStreetMap support in it for the areas that we've rendered. So you can show one of these APIs. You can talk to our common API. If one of them starts throwing advertising on it, you can move very quickly away. And one more last mapping party. This is Oakham. We mapped the entire county of Rutland, which is England's smallest county, I believe. And this is Oakham, which is the town there. Again, looks very pretty. We mapped the whole thing in the weekend, last weekend. And you can, again, download that data, play with it, do what you want. And one of the cooler things was one of those bypasses is not even open yet, but we managed to map it. It's one of those cases where OpenStreetMap has better data than what you get in Google and so on. Because this particular guy, Edwin, who did all this work, just cycled down it even though it was closed. We're also doing postcodes. There's a project called Free the Postcode, which has been going a year and a half or so. That's a slightly out-of-date map of where all our postcode data is. We don't have to get every single one of the 19 billion postcodes in the UK. If we can get to 50 or 100 metres or something like that, then it becomes useful for a lot of people. I can't remember how many postcodes we have. It's in the thousands. If you have a GPS unit or want to go and buy one, you can contribute to all of this and help our map grow quicker. There's been a little bit of fallout also. We got a lot of publicity after the Isle of Wight, and one thing that happened was because we've been mapping exhaustively all these areas, we've been finding all the copyright Easter eggs, or cartographers know them as trap streets, that have been put in the maps. And this is a particularly famous one, which was known before OpenStreetMap, called Lie Close, which goes to the middle of those buildings. And that was in the A to Z of Bristol, and it doesn't exist. It's there so that if you copy the map, they know that you copied it. And a little bit scary, just talking to this journalist about it, so he decides to ring up the A to Z and get it removed. So this is a quote from The Guardian where they phoned up the director of the A to Z and they said, this is a bit silly, and so he removed it. Of course, there are 3 million others, and if you go to our wiki page called Copyright Easter Eggs, you'll be able to find them all, because we've been finding them and documenting them. A quick show of how to use OpenStreetMap. You go around with your commodity 50 quid GPS, you come home, and you upload that trace, and you can tag it with where you've been, like Manchester, London, UK, that kind of stuff. You can add a text description, so that's Saturday afternoon from someone. This was the Manchester mapping party where we mapped Manchester in the weekend. It has a file name, timestamp, you own it, and so on. And then if you aggregate that together with other people's, then you can have a nice, delicious, like, view of little people's traces. You can get more interesting ones. These little scribbles are kind of cool. A lot of them are very boring. Like, if you go down the A4 from London to Bristol, it's just a straight line. You can aggregate these together so you can find all the traces in Manchester, all the traces by me, all the traces over 300 kilometres long, whatever your criteria may be. And then you edit them in either the applet, which this is what a screenshot of. This is a Java applet on our site. The yellow things are GPS dots, the vectors on top of things that people have manually drawn on. So it's a multi-stage process where you could have driven down that country lane, uploaded it and forgotten about it, and then someone else can come and actually turn it into vectors. And then someone else can go, aha, I used to live there, and type in the name of it. And being collaborative, someone else can then come on and add that road. Then you can group these segments together and call it a road. And then it can be automatically rendered. All the shots I showed you take data exactly from this and render it magically. We have a desktop tool which is used by most people now, called JOSM, which does effectively the same stuff, but it looks more like a GIS and it has more features. It gets a lot more love than the app it does. It works on everything. We have lots of map data. Don't know where that is. We have an open API. It is RESTful, which means you have things with a URL that you apply verbs to, get, delete, put, post. It speaks XML, with very Buzzword compliant, and we have a thing called Planet OSM, which is our weekly dump of the entire data set, which is very, very big now because we're importing Tiger. And most of that data is in Europe, Scandinavia, bits of Russia, but a huge amount in America as we're importing it. This data has been put to a lot of uses. This is the thing that started OpenStreetMap. It's a thing called GPS Drive, which is a piece of software for Linux that you plug a GPS in and it shows you where you go. But it's a free piece of software, but they can't get free data. So what they did was you would pretend to drive somewhere while online. It would grab images of where you're going. And then when you actually drove there, it would replay those images with you in the correct position. And that seemed a bit silly, especially that the thing is recording GPS traces. And that's what started OpenStreetMap as a goal to replace that scheme. And that has now succeeded. That is vector data from OpenStreetMap, including the little pub signs, the little car park signs, and so on. So it can do routing for you. It can show you what street you're on now, and it's with totally free data. Flight simulators have the same problem. This is a thing called Flight Gear, which is another free flight simulator. And they did all this work, but then they don't have any data for you to fly over. In the UK, in the US, it's obviously more easy. So one particular guy took our data, I think. I have no idea where this is. It's not actually one of the buildings more fake, because they don't have building data either. But these lines are OpenStreetMap streets you can fly over.
You can also use it on a GPS unit. This happens to be quite a high-end thing. This big block up there is a GPS unit. And you probably can't see it if you're at the back, but this is Central London. That's Regent's Park, and if you can see on the screen, it shows the same vector data. And that's cool, because it means that you don't have to rely on Garmin to sell you 20 quid a year map data anymore. You can just get it free off the internet. And it also means that if you're using a particular GPS as a survey device, you can walk down the street and realize that some other street isn't in the map yet, and go and capture that, which is more complicated if you're walking around with a laptop or a cheaper GPS that doesn't have the screen and the capability to show the map data. We've seen quite a lot of progress in the last 2 years. There's over 3,600 users now. About 50 people a day are uploading a trace. Often people do this sort of daily thing for lunch. They go out, go for a walk around, come back, edit it into a map. We have 36 million GPS points, which is a meaningless big number, but it works. There's a thing called the OS Month, which is something I'm going to do in December, where the OpenStreetMap community have clubbed together, and I created a target of being paid 1,500 quid to work on OpenStreetMap for a month. And everyone, we have a very large mailing list. A lot of people club together and raise this 1,500 quid from little donations, and we have a little progress bar that's now at 92%, which is pretty cool. Which means it's also a possibility that OpenStreetMap can support some actual work on it, because it obviously at the moment relies on free time and donations. So thank you for listening, and that's OpenStreetMap.